Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Hello, and welcome back to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. I have a special in-studio guest for you. He's always in studio. As always, focused on our nation today with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, special guest, producer Steve Johann. You're going to want to hear this one. But first, for more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcast at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. And don't forget to subscribe to the show so you won't miss a single episode. And thank you for listening. Welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. That's for darn sure today. Today, we are talking with Steve Johann. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 28:1. Steve Johann Productions helps people launch professional podcasts. The Lion Zone is his platform where he writes books, produces inspirational, educational, spiritually grounded content designed to equip individuals for the fight of their life and come out victorious. Lions are the kings and queens of the African plains. Unlike the mountain lion, who is a solitary creature, African lions don't live alone. They live in prides. Lions believe in family and community. We protect each other. We educate each other and we assist each other. We have only alpha lions, and that's the Lion of Judah, King Jesus. His works are dedicated to dispelling lies and deceptions, encouraging and empowering, just like Steve Johann. Author of the Podcaster's Cookbook, Steve has a new book, Breaking the Deception Code, designed to take a person from a first grade level to a master's level of discernment in an easy to read fashion, and is here with us out from behind the mixing board and on the microphone. All right. Bear with me here. Mr. Johann, tell us where you're from and how you like Washington's current state of affairs.
Well, I'm a native of Washington. I only spent a year after my graduation down in Phoenix, Arizona, where I went to Votech School. And then I tried to get work down there because I fell in love with Phoenix because it was sunny, unlike our climate up here, which is a lot of rain. Couldn't find work, came back up to the Northwest, and I've been living in Linwood, Washington since 1980. And for those who don't know, it's about 20 miles north, 15 miles north of Seattle proper. And yes, I have been here my entire life. I grew up in an idyllic home. I had my back fence abutted a rolling hills field. Beyond that was the woods, and the north of that was we called the trails. I lived a Huckleberry life, Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer kind of life as a child. And then, of course, you hit puberty, and everything goes AWOL at that point. When, like many people, we make bad choices. But ultimately, 1980, I came to the Lord, so that kind of straightened itself out. But I've been here in the beautiful Northwest. Steve, I've seen probably a couple million people come in since I moved down here in 1980. We have over 3.5 million people within 3 to 4 counties, and those counties rule the state. And it used to be the big B, the Boeing, the lazy B, was kind of the controller of a lot of Democrat, but that era was old school Democrat, union, all that. And then when Amazon came in, and I should say Microsoft, then Amazon, all these other companies came in, things definitely started changing politically, I would say. And it used to be back in the 80s, I was very, very involved with politics. I would hold signs, do door knocking for different people, trying to get local Republicans at that point in, and even a couple Democrats. And but now I don't think we've seen a Republican in my district for probably 30 years. And I haven't seen any in our state for probably 25 to 30 years. Locked in state. This is a blue as blue can get. And I think the last Republican was Dixie Lee Ray. So that goes
right.
A long way.
And so now you are married. And how many kids, and what are they up to?
Well, I'm married to my beautiful wife, Mary, for 33 years. I have 3 sons, Nathaniel, Noah, and Tim. And my middle son's in Texas, is an engineer. My oldest son is a tech, works on ATM machines. And my youngest son is in construction and taking night classes to be a construction manager.
Engineer in the petroleum industry, is that right?
Well, he's actually a mechanical engineer. And he
mechanical
does
engineer.
He went down to Dallas, got his first job, started working out in the energy field, working on the fracking industry, and was a field engineer. And then after 6 months of hard work and spending, well, you could say 5-6 weeks on, in a row out on the field, 14-hour days, he earned a position to apply, and now he is actually a mechanical engineer, and he is doing covert work, documenting some brand new machinery that the company that he works for is coming out with, but he can't even say because he's under a non-disclosure act. But yeah, it's going to improve the way things are done in the fracking industry. So it's
very
exciting. Yeah.
Now tell us about your early career in audio. You had a motorsport show very early in the era of podcasting, right?
Yeah, I started podcasting back in 2007. And I was on a road trip in 2006, and I had just got off of doing a music show on the radio. I had rented airtime thinking I wanted to be a DJ, and I ran through my money in three months, and I said, no more of that. In the meantime, I met somebody who did a 24/7 live feed or radio feed, and we joined forces, and we couldn't do any revenue thing because in those days and age, the royalty issues and all that, we could only run it as a hobby. So I said, why don't we create our own shows that didn't include music and that we might be able to bring in some sponsors that way. And I was on a road trip in 2006, saw these, we were going through the Black Hills, saw these Harley guys, and I said, hey, they have a passion. Why don't I start a show about that? And long story short, 2007, I launched a podcast. Didn't know a thing until I got into it. Bought a computer, bought the software, got the microphones, and pretty much started out of my third bedroom of my house, and then ultimately navigated over to this nice office that I have here, and I soundproofed this place, and I've been here since then. So yeah, I was a pioneer in that world.
And you literally wrote your first book on the podcast industry. You want to tell us a little bit about that before we get into the new one?
Well, that was basically written so that I could help other individuals launch their own podcasts. I go, it's an A through Z book on how to do it. Very easy read, a lot of instructional manual kind of thing. And it's also a way to help people understand that I offer my services, you being one of my clients, to help them out with podcasting, whether it's remote or within the studio, I can help them out. And that was kind of a platform. And it was also a chance to take my writing skills, put them into a book, and see if I couldn't create a book that would be printable and readable. And I did. And that launched me into that direction.
And that, again, is called The Podcaster's Cookbook.
Yeah. Right? And you can find it on Amazon.
On Amazon. All right. So you dedicated your new book to Roger Daltrey. For you Gen Zs out there, that's of the WHO, not the World Health Organization by any means, but British rocker that saying, won't be fooled again. We've been fooled a lot, huh?
Yeah, it's actually dedicated to everybody who has been fooled again. And I use his famous quote, we won't be fooled again, as from Roger Daltrey. So I pulled his quote to let people know that every one of us, Steve, you and I, and everybody in this world have been conned, we've been shystered, we've been hoodwinked, we've been taken advantage of. And 2020 was the wake-up call for a lot of individuals to figure out, oh my gosh, this world isn't what I thought it was. The hoodwink of all hoodwink, the con job of all con jobs took place under the guise of a seasonal flu, 184 countries shut down, and then I went to research that. And in that process, it led me to writing my book. And because I don't like seeing people hurt, harmed, and destroyed. And then I've uncovered so much more. Even since the book, I am working on new material. But the bottom line, this book needs to get in hands of a lot of people. As you just read it, you know how important it is. And it's also hopeful, too.
There you go. This is my copy, dog-eared and ready for conversation. So you wrote it. It's called Breaking the Deception Code, A Truth Seeker's Guide to Discernment. If there is a singular problem facing the world today, it's the lack of discernment. Billions choosing to align with dark forces intent on destroying them physically, mentally, financially, and spiritually. What is important about having discernment?
Well, discernment is the ability to perceive truth from a lie, myths from facts, and the problem is, Steve, if is, as you will find out in the book, I point out that we've all been indoctrinated from our babyhood, from birth. I just found a card that my wife found, and it was written by Gary Locke. And it was printed up. It had Gary's locks and his wife's lock. Hey, congratulations on your baby. Hey, don't forget to get your child immunized.
Former governor of Washington State.
So they send that to everybody who has a baby. Guess what? They're telling you right there, get your immunization. Well, people have been programmed their whole life to think that getting a shot is going to help you in the long run. Well, that's another discussion, but the point is, that is like your first indoctrination. We did it with our children. We didn't know any better, and it wasn't until many years later that we started going, what are we doing? Wasn't until 2020, and my wife, she's a nurse practitioner, said, no more. But the fact is...
What is the list up to? Something like 70 shots before they turn...
I think it's 74 now. And
now the COVID vaccine will be included in school immunization mandatory records. So the beat goes on, as we say.
It is. And so discernment is the ability to discern. You perceive, you read, you understand, you look at, and you can discern. It takes wisdom. So like in the very beginning of the book, I lay out what is the heart of a discerner and what is going to prevent you from having that discernment. In an attitude of a know-it-all attitude or an arrogant attitude is going to prevent you from discerning because beliefs. You know, it's the Bible talks about don't be doctrines of demons. Now, the term doctrine is a teaching. It is a methodology of learning and a belief system that we become indoctrinated. You know, we all heard the term indoctrinate. So we've all been indoctrinated a million times over by many, many different voices, whether it's our religious upbringing, whether it's the government, whether it's our education system, whether it's the TV shows. We are indoctrinated by ideas and images. And that's through words and also visual and audio. And so when we're indoctrinated, Paul likens this in the book of Galatians. He says to the Galatians who had fallen away from the faith, had turned away from the pure faith in Jesus and had gone back to the law thinking the law could save them. And he says, who has bewitched you? Well, how do you get bewitched? Well, bewitching someone is putting someone under a spell. Spells are through words and incantations and actions. And so our entire life, when you hear the news, it's broadcast. Cast something out, cast a spell, we're broadcast. That information comes into our mind. We don't even know it, Steve. We just do not know this. We are not taught this, and that's by plan. But coming back to discernment, if you think, I believe this, and this is the way it is, you will not have discernment. If you have an arrogant heart that, no, I'm right, you will not have discernment. The Bible says that there's four basic mindsets. One is the wise mindset. That's what we should all seek after. The second is the simple mindset. The third is the foolish mindset. And the fourth is the wicked mindset. Well, the wicked can be very wise in the ways of Satan. And they're the ones that pull this stuff off. But if you're simple and ignorant, you are a sitting duck, Steve. You have no discernment. You might have discernment on what kind of car to buy, you know, whether or not to, buy this loan or take that loan or, you know, in simple things. But when it comes to discerning the deep, deep things of this world, you're ignorant. And when you look at the statistics of the 2020 scamdemic, 80% of the adult population, 18 and above, went out and got themselves jabbed, whether it was through fear or totally believe in what they were told, they did it. 20% had discernment. They said no. I may not understand why, but I just know that something is wrong. There was something wrong. And you know what was funny, Steve? It could have been scientists. It could have been doctors. It could have been the truck driver. It could have been the guy that's serving you coffee. Or the housewife, it doesn't matter. Discernment has no status. It doesn't matter about how much money you make, how many degrees you have. It has nothing to do with that. It has a matter, are you open? Is your mind open to seeing what is not true being put at you as truth? When fact is when fiction is said fact, you know, trust the science. Well, what science is he talking about? I heard that parroted by pastors. I heard that parroted by my friends. I heard that parroted by newscasters. Trust the science. Well, they didn't define what the science was, did they?
No. And so you put that into your book. And so this book is primarily for people who believe that there's something wrong with the government, that they question the pandemic story, that they want to understand the methods used to deceive us, and that they want to be victorious in an uncertain world. Do you want to flesh those out a little more?
Yes. When you take and look at that, there's a lot of people we just mentioned. There's a lot of people now who, quite frankly, they've woken up. What I call a lot of people, I didn't coin this verse, this idea, but when 2020 hit, a lot of people got 2020 vision that they never had before. I have glasses. I have to rely on glasses. I don't have 2020 vision. I got an astigmatism, so that's a trait that I was born with. Well, a lot of people are born with the trait of blindness, spiritual blindness, emotional blindness, perception blindness. And we have to learn to remove those blinders. You know, I remember in a seminar one time, and they were talking about our belief systems. It's much like if I'm wearing glasses that are green, then no matter what you put in front of me, I'm going to say it looks green. Now, it is only until I'm willing to remove my glasses will I see the world for what it really is. And so we've always heard the term rose-colored glass. Oh, you see the life through the rose-colored glasses.
Red-pilled.
Or red-pilled. And the idea is this. Once you read my book, for one, and get a good grounding of what it means to have a mindset and then a heart set, then you can start beginning to look at everything that you're taught, everything you're told, and it's a process that you go through. And to have a victorious life, it begins with understanding that you have total control, Steve. You and I have 100% free will. God gave each one of us the ability to say yes, no, accept, don't accept, question. We do not have to buy. If you look at everything that took place, with very, very few exceptions, they were offers. Everything was an offer. And then if you had used the legal processes that were in place, you could have said no to everything that was told to you to do. But people didn't do that. They became lazy. And Steve, I don't want people, my whole world, my whole attitude and my whole being is to help people not be lazy, but to take responsibility for themselves. Steve,
I had a lot of themes here about informed consent. And part of the problem with informed consent is people taking the time to become informed, and therefore having a consent based on an education or an understanding, or in your case, a discernment that they're making the right choice, as opposed to just saying, sure, line me up, stick that in my arm, we'll see how it goes. Here's what Noah Jay said with 5 stars on Amazon. I want to get your take on it. If you are a truth seeker, the later half of the book will definitely be an enjoyable read, as it covers many of the things that can protect you from following the wrong path for data gathering or source material, and the right way to protect yourself from mental attacks and maybe legal actions taken against you. What do you think of that?
Well, I appreciate that comment. And the fact is, I do lay out in the book methodologies that you can use. I mean, if we had gone back to this, Steve, one of the first things I did is I looked up the Washington Constitution. I downloaded it. I pulled up the United States Constitution. I downloaded it. I looked at it. And I said, look, the Washington Constitution has some provisions for sickness and that kind of thing, where the governor can do whatever he wants, under emergencies. But then it says right at the top that it's usurped by the United States Constitution. And nowhere in the United States Constitution does it say they have a right to close you down over illness or sickness or a fear of sickness or fire. So then I went, okay, so then Washington State's Constitution has to be underneath our Constitution of the United States. Hence, when our governor didn't even abide by the Constitution of Washington State, or he did, but he stretched it, I said he is not abiding by the Constitution of the United States, and neither is anybody else that's pushing this agenda. And you know what? Guess who the government is of the United States, Steve?
God.
Well, He's over everything. It states that, right? But what has God said? You and I have our own rights. We are birthed with these rights in place, in that we, the governed, you and I, the citizens, actually are the government.
And that was why I was so angry that the legislature of Washington was so quick to hand over all of their granted rights to the governor for 1,000 days of emergency powers, and a state like Tennessee reined those in pretty well. Not perfectly, but something different. Absolutely. And I said many, 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 many times, it goes God, Bible, U.S. Constitution, Washington State Constitution, and way, way down here is governor. But he usurped all of that, and that's why he's got to go. And hopefully he does in 2 years when he's up for reelection. A quote that is on page 40 seems to be one of the key sections within the book. I keep coming back to it. It takes discernment to see the lies of leaders who wish to keep us slaves. It takes discernment to see the way out and build alternatives to the crumbling structures we used to rely on. What were you thinking of when you wrote that?
I believe that pretty much everything that we have trusted in, whether it's our education system, whether it's the purpose of the military, whether it's the purpose of the government itself, whether it's the purpose of our media, whether it's the purpose of our healthcare industry, everything that we've relied on, if you start going down the financial, the business, the healthcare, everything that we rely on, Steve, has been infiltrated by, I call it, demonic entities, individuals that are run by greed and lust and power. They're not there for you and I. They're there for themselves. And when we have to discern that so that we can build a protection around ourselves, because we still live in America. And since we live in America, Steve, we have to use our perception and perceive what we can do. You know, here's the interesting thing. When everybody was staying home and staying safe, 40 new billionaires were formed in the United States. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of multimillionaires were created in the United States. There were people in the trades. You know, when people started working from home, Zoom became this huge thing. We're using it right now. They profited on people's fear. The all the trades guys became busier than ever because now Sally and Jim and Frank are all working from home, and they're looking at their house and going, I think I need to make some improvements. And I couldn't tell you how many times when I'm walking the block around my office complex, how many times I've seen this trades guys out there building, remodeling, fixing, and they never stopped. They were able to take advantage. And so there's a term, it's called make money when there's blood in the buy when there's blood in the streets. I even wrote an article that hasn't been published yet. But the fact is that, Steve, when you use perception and you use discernment, you can see, oh, I don't care what my neighbor does. I'm able to make my own life. I'm able to protect my own family. So I, my wife, a long time ago when we chose to have children, we said we're going to be responsible. So it was many years, probably for 16, 18 years, that my wife never worked full time. And I didn't work. I worked full time, part time, had my own business. And we did this so that we could be very, very involved and intentional in our children's lives. And so we used this idea of being intentional. And we poured our life into them. We protected them. But we also were very honest about the way the world was. Consequently, I thank God for this, but my boys love each other. They love us, they love their grandparents, and they love the Lord. And they're all very, very hard working, responsible individuals. And they have a great friendships with many people around them. And they all see into the lies of the world that we live in. And they laugh at it. And they just say, whatever, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to pursue what I'm going to pursue. And so perception and discernment allows you to say, hey, just because my pastor tells me to do this or says to do this or supports to do this, the scriptures say something different. So I might have to step aside and leave that church and find a healthy church where truth is being preached. Hey, if my school is not doing what my school needs to be doing, either I step up and get involved or I remove my kids. Steve, if I was in the position where a lot of people are today, I'd probably be homeschooling my kids. That's what I would be doing. You chose to take and leave this state, like many other people did, and go to Tennessee, where you were able to have your child be involved in a non-weird situation where she could compete girl to girl, boy to boy, and nothing in between. Steve, you took control. It comes back to being responsible. You were a lion. See, lions take responsibility. My whole book is about taking responsibility, and it begins with discernment.
Yeah. So individuals who won't want to read this book but need to would be what you called know-it-all spirits and those with closed minds who prefer lies to truth. Do people prefer lies to truth?
Steve, I have to say that yes. There are an immense amount of people who, even when they're shown truth, will bury their head. Because I talk about the 12 stages of awareness. And I take people through the 12 stages of awareness. And the first one is dullness. We're all dull. We're ignorant. We don't know what we don't know. But then there comes the wake-up stage where something comes in and you are faced with a reality that you never had to think about before. And the person with discernment or perception is willing to stop and say, hey, I need to take a look at this. I'm going to examine this. And so then you start researching it. And that researching comes to an awareness. It comes to a point where you're going, this is real. But the pain of having to accept it as real and the ramifications is just too great for me to accept. I have to quit my job. How many people lost their jobs because they refused to get an injection? A lot. Mm-hmm. How many people moved out of their states? A lot. You chose to do that. But a person who wants a lie, that prefers a lie, says, oh, no, that's not real. That can't be real. When they're first shown a truth,
right?
When they're first shown a truth and they just say, no, they reject it, and you come back again, no, they reject it, and you come back again, no, you reject it.
Jesus. Believe me, as a person who writes a bi-monthly newspaper that tells only the truth as best as we can, and I get the letters to the editor, there are those that just refuse to see the truth, even with statistics and quotes. And like I said, as much gospel in there as you can, they will put their head in the sand and say, well, you know, I learned sex ed when I was a kid too, and it must be the same, and it's not. And then you show them the materials and you say, that's pornographic. There's a difference. No, I can't do it. So you're a big time believer. You and I both have no doubt Jesus walked out of that tomb on the third day, no question. Yeah. Do individuals who wish to honor God need discernment?
Steve, the entire scriptures are written to believers, whether you're looking at from Genesis all the way through Revelation. It's written to believers. It's not written. It says these things are written, the gospel account. John says, these things are written so that you may come to see that Jesus is who he is and that you will believe in him, place your trust in him. But when Paul is right, and when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking to his disciples. And he says this, he says, warning, don't trust the blind guides who lead the blind into the pit. He tells his followers, these are followers. These are people that believe in Judaism. They're following the law. They're following after Jesus. Jesus says, Warning. See those blind guides? They're leading people into a pit. They're blind leaders, leading blind leaders. The place I put in the scripture, a couple places in my book, I talk about policies and procedures. And when Fauci put in the policy and procedures at the top through the NIH, and it's still in place, by the way, Steve, it's still there, and he put the protocols, and those protocols went into every hospital. They followed that rule. They followed those protocols. They didn't use their brain. They didn't say, oh, no, this is wrong. This is evil. They didn't look up what remdesivir does, and it kills people. They didn't follow that. They followed the blind leader named Fauci. Now, remember, I believe Fauci's a mastermind, but he is blinded by the demon that runs him. there is an, you know, I believe in spiritual things. I believe in the spiritual warfare. I believe in hierarchies of angels, hierarchies of demonic beings. And I believe there's demonic rulers that rule over different cities. You can see that in scripture. And the fact is there are individuals who are ruled by these entities. They choose power brokers and they rule over them. And we can even see that in the book of Revelation because pastors and churches actually had angels representing them. So back to this, Fauci put something in place and he was being blinded his whole career. He's done evil. That guy's done more evil than any Pol Pot thought to do. And yet he's accolades. He's not in jail. I don't think he'll ever see jail because people are blinded. People are literally blinded, Steve. They don't want to admit that they believed a liar. And so Jesus said, you know, to the Pharisees, he says, you brood of vipers, you snakes, you make 10 times the son of hell as yourselves. And so he's telling people, don't check the fruit out. He says, hey, good fruit doesn't come from a bad tree and bad fruit doesn't come from a good tree. So Steve, when you pick apples, I pick fruit, and I look at it, and I go, oh, that's a good apple. But there might be some poison, you know, there's a crab tree, or there's some kind of a apple tree that is not, you don't want to eat that kind of stuff. And you are told, and you are warned, you know, the tares and the wheat, the tares are a weed, they're poisonous, they look just like wheat, they grow up in the midst of the wheat, and there's the tares. And we have to be very careful when we're eating and when we're harvesting. And so, again, when we are told, when Paul is saying, who has bewitched you? He's talking to the church. And he's saying, in one of the passages, in one of the books, he's saying, I warned you night and day with tears for 2 years that grievous wolves will come into the body of Christ and start consuming the flock. But you know what? 2,000 years later, it's still there. There's grievous wolves that are consuming the flock. And quite frankly, churchgoers are the most trustworthy, like, compassionate type people, and they're the most gullible people. Quite frankly, I found most church-going people are very gullible.
Well, they're trusting people. They trust the science. Yes. They trust the government. They trust the news. So inside your book, you talk about the blueprint to world domination and how to avoid it. Without giving away the punchline of the book, so people will go out and buy it. Again, it's Breaking the Deception Code by Steve Johann. Give us a little bit on the blueprint to world domination and how we can avoid it.
Yeah, it's many, many, many pages. I took a document. I won't tell you what it is. You'll have to buy the book to find it. But basically, it's in their own terms. It's like the equivalent of the WEC. It's the World Council on Foreign Affairs. All these guys. These guys have been around forever. They just keep changing their names. Council of 300, you name it. The Club of Rome. These guys dictate. They sit and they meet. I mean, when they have Davos, they're sitting and meeting and they're planning out what they want to do to you and I, how to manipulate us. Because the guys at the top, and I call them the power brokers, the darklings. I just use darklings because you can't pinpoint any one person. But they have documentation, Steve.
Like The Dark Crystal. That's a good movie.
Yeah. But these are darklings. So, I guess that comes from The Dark Crystal. I hadn't thought about that. But the fact is these individuals have a straight line to Satan. I should say straight line to the God of this earth, the God of the air. And they plot and plan, and they say in that document, here's just a little snippet of what they say. In a paraphrase, it says, we need to keep people so busy, work, so that when they come home, they are so exhausted that they're not able to take the time to engage in the real things of this world. We need to make the media so it's geared to a fifth grade level of thinking. All entertainment has to be geared to a fifth grade level of mindset. Keep them entertained. Dumb them down. They say, we're going to change history. We are literally going to change history. So in the book, I even show you how they redefined what herd immunity was and what, I point this out. I pull a screenshot. I show it in the book, and I say, here's what it is, and here's what they say it is. They change history right in the midst of our world. They change terminologies. They constantly change terminologies. And then, one, they also wish to they look at you and I, Steve, as cattle. They want to tax us to death. They talk about this. They even say in here, it's really interesting. It says, Steve, it says in the document, information is power. The more information we have on the people who pay taxes and through the census, we know what they think. Therefore, we can write scripts. They can write scripts. They can write what I call crisis plays to build fear and division within people so that they can get people all freaked out. They don't really see what's going on in front. It's a smoke and mirrors, smoke over here. But what's really gone over here is what they're really doing.
The good news on that is they've treated us like milk cows to date. We just hope they don't turn us into beef cows. Tell us about the six P's and the six F's. So we won't be manipulated going forward.
Yes. So the six P's, and I learned five P's in a success motivational course by James E. Tullison way back in the 80s. I bought it.
Oh.
And what the biggest takeaway was the five P's. And then my son said the six P's, which is possessions. But power, pride, pleasure, protection, which is self-preservation, profit, and possessions. So you think about that, Steve. That is the world that we live in, that we can be, our pride can be used against us.
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier, how your pride keeps you from believing a truth. It can also be, look at me, I'm the president, and I am unwilling to repent of saying, get that booster, get that booster. So he's unrepentant because he's prideful. Then power. Power, we've all heard the term, power corrupts and ultimate power corrupts ultimately. Well, a lot of people were given power in 2020. A lot of underlings that run these health departments with each state and each county, they've sat there and twiddled their thumbs for 30 years, and all of a sudden they were given power beyond their imaginations. And
like a hack Democrat governor who's registered 0% when he ran for president from Washington State. Exactly right.
Yes. So then the power and then pleasure. So think about pleasure. Pleasure is everything, you know, that's that pleasure bone, you know, and it sucks you into a life of addiction and reliance. And, you know, porn is all based on pleasure, and addiction is based on pleasure, and you name
bread
it.
Bread and circuses, right?
That's right, bread and circuses. Football games, and give everybody their whatever, their electronic their money that came into everybody's bank account during COVID. You know, nobody wanted it. They just
stimulus
sent it
checks,
to us. Stimulus
right.
checks.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have self-preservation. That's protection. Self-preservation aligns with one of the, fear of rejection. That's one of the F's. Fear of rejection, Steve, is so massive. So if you look at it this way.
That's how they play into the schools. Why aren't you wearing a mask? Why don't you have your booster shot?
You don't go. If you love your grandma, you're going to wear a mask. You're going to social distance. You're going to stay outside the house. And then ultimately, you're going to get that shot. And so
peer pressure on a Saul Alinsky level, right?
You named it. As a matter of fact, I've got his book, and I took some of that and put it into my book. I'm still reading his book.
And who did he dedicate his book to?
To Satan, the ultimate rebel of his time.
In our last few minutes we have together, tell us what it takes to be a propaganda resistance fighter.
Steve, you have to understand how the propaganda is run against you. You have to build a BS detector. You have to have a sniffer that smells BS. Because if you don't, you're going to be assailed. Every day we're assailed 24/7. That email that comes in your email, folks, and it says, "Hey, I'm lonely." Or, "Hi, I would you like to, you know, get together?" That's propaganda. That is an assail. Once you understand that is being fired at you because they know that it's going to stimulate you, you say no. When I go into great detail about the news, but remember this, Steve, to be a resistor of propaganda is understand that everything that the government puts out is propaganda. Everything that comes through the news wire service is propaganda. Think about it this way. They choose the stories to pick. Even if they're not going to lie about what they're saying, they choose the story and they frame it in such a way to get you to react in a certain way. There's a billion different things that go on every day. For every person, there's a story. And there's 7 billion plus people in this world. Why do they choose one story? So just understand that everything that is thrown at you is propaganda by its very nature. Propaganda is designed to manipulate your mind so that you think differently than you would if you were a sober-minded person. So be sober-minded and spend time in Scripture. Really galvanize yourself in the things of God. Pray for His wisdom and be open. You got to use your imagination, Steve. If you don't use your imagination and imagine how bad it can be, you will never see how bad it can be. But once you understand that, you go, "Ouch! If that's all it is, I can laugh at that and I can just reject it." That's the main thing. Laugh at your enemies. They hate that. Laugh at the devil. Laugh at the propaganda. Every time you see someone, and we're going to do this later in the show because I've already seen the thing, but when Fauci's telling people to get boosters, quite frankly, laugh at him. Just go, what a jokester. He is a jokester.
And one of the rules for radicals in Saul Alinsky's book is to laugh at your opponents. Look in the mirror, and what you see is what you challenge them to be. But ridicule and laughter is the best defense against it. So all of that is in the book. If you want to know more to figure out how to defend yourself from the thousands and thousands of gigabytes of trigabytes of information constantly flowing at you, all that doesn't have your best interest at stake, take a look at Steve's book, Breaking the Deception Code, The Truth Seeker's Guide to Discernment. Steve, at the end here, tell us the light at the tunnel. Let's end on hope like your book does.
Steve, I think we can, having sat in with you on your shows since you began, there is a lot of light out there. One is all the individuals who stood up and said no. Since 2020, they've stood up and said no in every way they possibly can. That's light. Two is understand that God is in control. He is the author and an authority of life, and only He is our God. So place your hope in Him and not in man. And third, start looking at ways to take and transform your church, your little fellowship, into a beacon of hope. Transform it into a business hub. Transform it into an education hub. Transform it into a place where people educate one another. Too often we look at the church as come Sunday morning, get a good sermon, leave for the week, when in reality, Steve, we can galvanize. And not only that, there are freedom pods meeting all over this United States and around the world. And there's people gathering together both online and in person who are saying, we're not taking it anymore. And they're educating one another, everything from homesteading to raising your kids to homeschooling and far beyond. That's the hope, Steve, is just as our forefathers who fought for our rights to have a constitution, that was 10%, less than 20% of the population went along with that. And yet we are the benefactors of that. So let's not forget that. That's hope.
Yeah, well said. So please tell our listeners where they can go to find more about you and your other projects and Breaking the Deception Code.
Just go to Steve Johann, that's StevJohann.com. And then also you can find the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or anywhere books are sold.
Thanks for making this show high quality.
Thank you.
See you at the next segment. Welcome to the second Steve and Steve segment of our show, where we cover anything else on my mind today. Steve, today is a good day. Something to be thankful for damn sure. My number two most disliked and distrusted public figure is done. Who's my number one?
Randy Weingarten.
Right. Over. Goodbye. Highest paid government employee, longest serving NIAID, heck of a pension after 54 years. How'd that AIDS vaccine work out, buddy? So, adios. As Trump said, he's a great promoter, but the banality of evil in our time. Please play clip one and two.
It's immune compromise. First of all, everybody should be vaccinated and boosted with flu and with COVID. whether or not you wear a mask, or another thing we shouldn't underestimate is testing. So when we're gathering at a family gathering for Thanksgiving or for Christmas or for any other holiday as we get into the winter, it makes sense that you might want to get a test that day before you come into a place in which you might be infected and spread it, or other people who might be there, in order to protect. So there's masking is important, but you can count masking, vaccine, boosting, testing. All of that is part of the spectrum of protecting yourself.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
He just couldn't resist one last sales pitch for masks and vaccines, could he? Well, let's play the second clip and then I'll dig a little deeper.
An important part of the conversation we have in the days and weeks ahead. Because here's what we know. If folks get their updated vaccines and they get treated, if they have a breakthrough infection, we can prevent essentially every COVID death in America.
Mm.
That is a remarkable fact 2.5 years after we found this virus first in our
country. Vitamin D?
But it's going to take all of us to make that happen. So please, don't wait. Get your COVID shot. Get your flu shot. That's why God gave you two arms. You can one in each arm if you want. Go to vaccines.gov.
And that's why God gave us two butt cheeks and everything else, right? So we can get vaccines. That's why we're on Earth. However, a good friend of the show, Alex Berenson, said, some happy news this Thanksgiving. 3 years after the first atypical pneumonia patient started showing up at hospitals in Wuhan, looks like we can officially put the novel coronavirus behind us. After crashing in the spring, SARS-CoV-2 deaths have remained a rounding error worldwide ever since, about 1% of total deaths, and they continue to fall. SARS-CoV-2 is now roughly as big a killer worldwide as esophageal cancer. In other words, 6 months of warnings and demands for boosters from public health experts have proven wrong. Shocker. Not because of the vaccines either. Whether based on novel or existing biotechnology, the shots proved mostly useless within months. Thus, the huge bump in cases and deaths in January 2022 after more than 10 billion doses have been distributed globally. But nature, in the form of viral evolution, appears to have done what we couldn't. The Omicron variant infected anyone and everyone, and after a bump last winter, Omicron ultimately sharply reduced COVID deaths and hospitalizations. Declines in death almost certainly occurred, both because Omicron is less dangerous and because it generates a full-spectrum immune response, including antibodies that the vaccine did not. So no, God did not give us two arms for that shit. Thanksgiving for Fauci's exit. This is from Technofog. There's a remarkable concession appearing in the Washington Post today. A majority of Americans dying from the coronavirus received at least the primary series of the vaccine. The latest data shows that 58% of COVID-19 deaths in August 2022, last month and a half, were from people who were vaccinated or boosted. All right, last one. Peer-reviewed, this is vital, the Forgen effect. Here's the conclusion. The mechanism by which face masks contribute to the COVID-19 case fatality rate. Here's the conclusion. Sorry. This study revealed that wearing face masks might impose a great risk on individuals, which would not be mitigated by a reduction in the infection rate. The use of face masks, therefore, might be unfit, if not contraindicated, as an epidemiological intervention against COVID-19, proving or disproving the Fogin effect using experimental studies as described above should be a priority to public health scientists. So there you go, Dr. Science. I could go on for hours, but won't. Let's hear from a hero of mine, Dr. Scott Atlas. Please give us clip number three.
Fauci's legacy, if I have a minute, because he's got a very important legacy. Number one, he presided over the biggest failure in public health history over two different presidential administrations. Number two, his policies were implemented, and those policies shifted the burden of this illness from the affluent to the poor and incurred massive harm on our children, psychological damage, long-lasting damage, an obesity crisis, and we really haven't seen the tip of the iceberg on that damage to children. and again, worse on low-income and poor kids. And then thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, his underling, and many of these other people at the CDC and on the talking heads on TV have destroyed the trust in public health. We have a huge challenge as a country to fix what happened in his wake.
Let the hearings and lawsuits begin. Ding, ding. Good riddance. Any comments, Steve?
I just want to say that it's very interesting that even Fox, they waited. They did not come out when everybody, like you and I, knew from day one that this was bogus. They waited, aren't they? Because I want you guys to use discernment. Fox is not your friend. There's some nice people on there, but they waited a year and a half before they started trotting out, 2 years now, trotting out people that are speaking against this. They held their breath. They all went along. Most of them got jabbed. And the fact is, I do not trust them as a sound source. Take them for what they are. Use them for who they are. But just remember, they did not stand against the tidal wave that came against us.
No, of course not. And just yesterday, they came out and said that the Hunter Biden laptop was true. ABC's Catherine Heritage did, who left Fox. So, you know, we all got played if anyone yep. was dumb enough to believe that. So, Producer Steve, it's gotten very hard to live and work in the 2020s without a phone. I'm texting you show notes and audio clips, and you're emailing me instructions on how to use Podomatic and Linktree, and we all pay our bills and track our kids and Venmo each other and listen to the Mill Creek View podcast on iTunes or whatever you get your podcast. And bottom line is, we need these little nuclear reactors, but let's hear the other point of view for a minute. Please play clip number four.
I have an eight-year-old and a soon-to-be 10-year-old. And when I think about what I hand them, I mean, I have a little watch. I can contact them. I can reach them. But the idea of handing over to my kids a machine that tells them, compare yourself to everyone else. I mean, I'm not somebody who even likes to go on social media because it's kind of like walking out your front door and saying, hey, anyone think I'm cute today? Like, anyone want to criticize me? Come on, I'm here for you. Just go ahead and start. And so for my kids, when they're trying to think about and figure themselves out, I mean, I cannot imagine going through puberty, going through insecurities, going through life, and not just having whatever bullying, whatever insecurities, just in your own little circle, but it's there forever. And it feels like everyone's seeing it. And it goes from point A to point Z in a matter of seconds. I mean, you have people feeling insecure into their adulthood. Now, I mean, you should see, we're talking about on air, you know, someone will make a comment as a pundit, and the commercial break, they go, anyone like it? Anyone like it? Anyone like it? What do they say? What are they saying?
Are Congress people
yeah,
doing that too?
Exactly. And these are people who are grown-ups, who have lived a life before social media. Imagine those who have never. Like, you see kids now, and you wonder the two-year-olds who have seen people in masks for most of their lives at this point. How does that shape their view of now seeing a mouth one day?
Yeah.
Imagine now seeing a real mirror, not a filter. It's always like a fun house, and I try to stay away from it from my kids.
But don't your kids complain to you that the other kids have this and we don't? I mean, isn't it hard as a parent to do that when all the other kids have it?
For me, no. You wanna know why?
Steve, can we get rid of these darn harmful yet necessary things?
Can I get rid of what I've got here, my cell phone and that kind of thing? No, but we can monitor them.
And probably just get rid of the social media apps.
They're a
time suck for sure. And keep the financial and the business stuff. Okay, maybe a New Year's resolution to put them down more. I don't know. Most of my show prep is done on it. Anyway, in conclusion, would you please play clip number five?
Before we're served, shouldn't we say grace?
Year 1621, the Pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. Governor William Bradford and Captain Miles Standish were honored guests. Elder William Brewster, who was a minister, said a prayer that went something like this. We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world with freedom and justice.
Amen.
I've always wanted to find a reason to play that clip to hear from the wise Jewish kid on Peanuts, Linus Van Pelt, philosopher genius. Steve, what are you thankful for?
Oh, I am thankful to God that he gives me breath. Thank you for his son who died for my sins and gave me a life. And I'm grateful for my family and my friends and people like yourself, Steve. And I'm also grateful that I do live in a country that was based on individuals coming here to practice their faith as they saw fit and not be dictated to by some hierarchical organization. I think we are called to be the priesthood of all believers, and that means individually we are responsible for God, and we don't need someone else. We have our one high priest, Jesus. So that's what I'm grateful for.
Well, I want to say I'm thankful for the year 2022, to be honest. This was the year Jesus found me. My daughter and I were water baptized on my birthday in February at Pastor DJ's house ministry in Snohomish, Washington. Feels like 10 years ago, but only 8 months. A month later, I found myself the owner of the Mill Creek View newspaper company when God called 82nd Airborne vet Fred Philbrook, the founder since 1991, home to Jesus, and was able to roll out the second paper, snowviewonline.com, and create this podcast in June. We now have 40 shows in the library with some extraordinary, helpful humans on here and hit number one in our category a few times, thanks to you, our listeners. And I'm thankful for my move to Tennessee. I'm home now in God's country and very happy. We went from under 100 listeners to over 1,000 with the new Tennessee show. I'll never forget the cross-country trip from Washington to Tennessee via Mount Rushmore, Deadwood, and Sturgis, South Dakota, and Yellowstone to baptize myself in real America and got a kid into college. Very thankful. My son got into Grand Canyon in Arizona this year, and my daughter swam the 500, giving Brentwood Academy High School 2 points, and the girls won by 2 points. So there you go. Had we stayed in Shit Town, as I affectionately call it, they would have only tied. Very thankful for the strength God gave her. And of course, I'm very thankful and appreciative of you, Producer Steve. God love you. If not for you, I wouldn't have kept this show going after the move across country. And I love all your energy and wisdom and ideas on making us the best show we can for the people. Thank you, brother. I look forward to working with you on many more. Stay tuned for my thought of the week. Welcome to our Thought of the Week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to the Mill Creek View podcast. Thanks for doing it. I must judge for myself, but how can I judge? How can any man judge unless his mind has been opened and enlarged by reading? John Adams, second president of the United States. How shall a man judge what to do in such times as he ever has judged, said Aragorn? Good and ill have not changed since yesteryear. It is a man's part to discern them as much in the golden wood as in his own house. J.R.R. Tolkien, author of the high fantasy works, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Well, if I can find my clothes, I will read my clothes. All right, bear with me. I should have it memorized by now. I've said it long enough, but that is it for this episode. Really hope you like it. Write to me at millcreekview@yahoo.com, and I just might read it on the air. Thank you, Steve Johann, for your important book. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the millcreekviewonline.com. If you like the show, and I hope you do, check it out, millcreekviewonline.com. I think you'll find it worth your time. And as always, peace in our time.
At the county fair, they were looking for America.